Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Ghar se dola chala ladli ka kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka ghar se dola chala ladli ka
6 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning here in Johannesburg. It's a bit overcast, but of course we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 15th of Muharram, 1443, which is also the 24th of August, 2021. We welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. And of course, we welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. Remember our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad into the program, Ustad. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, let's go to Durban this morning. A listener says here, can you revoke your talaq in the last period of your last haid? Ustad, anonymous sister.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anything we want to know, we must go to the noble Quran and the Sunnah Mubarakah, the fatawa verdicts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the four schools of thought. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2 and verse number 229. If the husband issued the talaq in writing or verbally, and it is a clear-cut divorce, where he used the word talaq or divorce, and in the present tense or past tense, he said he's giving his wife a divorce, a talaq. So if he said it once or he said it twice, so he can take his wife back during the iddat period, and then there won't be a need to perform and renew the nikah. But that does not mean that the one talaq, if he gave, then that talaq is cancelled. No, it's not cancelled. It will still be valid. But it means for the future, he, the husband, will still have only two talaqs left. If he gave two talaqs, then, and he takes his wife back during the iddat, then he can take her back, but remember, without a new nikah during the iddat. But for future, he will only have one talaq, one divorce left. So all this is clearly enshrined in the noble Quran. At-talaq marratan, that you give two talaqs, and for imsakum bima'ruf, that you take your wife back, and there's no need for a new nikah, but you must treat her with justice, love, and equity. And during the iddat you take her back, there's no need for a fresh and new nikah. Wa bu'ulatuhunna haqqu bi raddihinna fi dhalika in aradu islaha, if the aim is to reconcile and so forth. So it's good you take your wife back, but all those talaqs you issued, the one or two, all will be valid. And remember, the iddat period is mentioned in Surah 2, chapter 2, verse 228. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. So the Hanafis and Hanbali say it is three periods of menses, and three times, you know, the menses must come. And remember that the Malikis and Shafis say three periods of cleanliness. So your question is, you gave one talaq, talaq or two talaq, and now your wife is in iddat, and she is in that third menses. She's still in that menses, so she's still in iddat. The iddat will expire after the menses is finished. So you want to take her back? Yes, take her back, and there's no need to renew the nikah and the marriage ceremony and so forth. But remember, if you gave her one talaq, that is still valid. For future, you only have two talaqs left, if this is the first time you gave talaq. If you gave her two talaqs and two divorces, then you only have one talaq left. Those are the most important issues that you must understand.
Let's not say it's two talaq will buy in, Ustad.
If you gave two talaq and buy in, then you want to take her back, you must perform a fresh nikah. So whether it's during the iddat or after the iddat, if it is talaq and buy in, then make a fresh nikah even now or even after the iddat expires. And then remember, you only have one talaq left.
Let's go to Johannesburg, Ustad. Her brother says, I'm very, very much strict about the parda for my wife, dear Honorable Mufti Sahab. But as we are living in joint family, we could not follow the Sharia parda at home. As I read in the hadith, husband brother is a death for her wife. So in that case, Ustad, what should I do? As I am reminding her, always try as far as possible to do Sharia parda. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamu al-maut, that remember that how you fear death, you must fear the dewar, you must fear the husband's brother in Urdu, and that you say dewar. So it means the husband's brother is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So no sense you telling your wife to do all that. You, your duty for your wife, and your wife can demand this from you, that you must supply her and furnish her with a separate house, separate flat, separate outbuilding, granny flat, whatever you can. So no sense you keep on staying with your family and then tell her, so how difficult that will be for her. And you yourself are not practicing on parda. So you must remember that if your brother's wife is there and so forth, so you intermarry, you can also be looking at her and so forth. So it's a problem for all parties. So what you must do, if you are speaking about parda in the true sense of the word, then you must immediately try and move out and get a separate flat for her, or a house for her, cottage for her, or whatever, even though you pay rental. And in that way there, she will have a privacy, she can practice on her parda and so forth and so on.
Ustad, a sister in Islam says that my husband from his previous marriage have three children, but lately some information came to light that the third child is not biological his. He have been paying maintenance and the child is registered under his name. Please give us Islamic guidance on this matter. Shukr, may Allah Ta'ala bless you, Ustad, sister in Islam.
I'm not 100% clear with the question, so I will mention it both ways. Your husband was married previously, right? So he has three children according to the question. So the first two, everybody accepts is his child. So when you say there's a question mark about the third child, what do you mean? You mean that his previous wife had an affair or something? If that is the case, that she had an affair and then she conceived and then she gave birth, he accepted that the child is his. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-waladu lil-firash. So in a case like that, still the child will be registered by the father's name. So that's correct what they did, you must remember. Remember that he accepted the child and so forth. If at that time when she, that wife of that time, his ex-wife now, she gave birth and he made naful walad and he said, no, this child is not my child, and he gave a talaq and divorce, then in that case there, the lineage of the child will go to the mother and not to the father. But according to how you pose the question, remember that he accepted the child, so the child is his. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-waladu lil-firash. So the child will be for the father in this case here. This is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. The second scenario is this, that he was married. That is, you must remember your husband previously. He had his wife and so forth and so on. He has two children from her. So there is no problem. Then the third child, he didn't have from his wife, but he had from his girlfriend, from his mistress, and so forth and so on. And then she gave birth, but he registered that child from on his name. So obviously that is a haram child, illegitimate child, a B. There's no blame and sin on the child. So the lineage of that child will go to the mother and not to the father, if it is his mistress child, his girlfriend's child, and so forth. So there we're not 100% clear. Are you speaking of the previous wife, or are you speaking of a mistress and girlfriend?
Somebody says, Ustaz, please make dua for brother Imran Karwa's family. He leaves behind 4 daughters. How must we console them, Ustaz?
Remember that last year, December, mashallah, I had a wonderful program with Allah's help and mercy. I still remember that I went from here with Hafiz Asif Khan or Zahid Khan, their brothers, and I always get mixed up. From here, I had a program in Stanerton. Then from there, I went to Newcastle. Then we went to Ladysmith. We had a program there. I spent the night there by Bashir's brother, Imran, and then from there to Dundee, and then from Dundee to Freyhead, and so forth. So it was wonderful, wonderful. Allah Ta'ala reward all the brothers. And there in Stanerton was the Kanu family, and there in Ladysmith was Imran Karwa, Naiz Rahimahullah, and there in Dundee was our Hafiz Salim, MashaAllah. So MashaAllah, Hafiz Salim Wauda, Allah Ta'ala reward him. So, and thereafter, there in Freyhead was our Katrada family, our Hafiz Sali and all of them. So may Almighty Allah reward them. My ta'alluk and connection to the family goes back long time, that our brother Bashir was very close to me, mashallah. And whenever I had to go to Ladysmith, he used to take me around, I had to stay in his house and so forth. And he also went through a bad patch, you know, his marriage broke and what have you. And then he passed away and so forth. Then his mother passed away. I used to even speak to the mother, you know, because she used to cry so much. Bashir passed away. And thereafter, then our brother Imran passed away. And I know there are 4 daughters there. So remember, you, the children, obviously your father has passed away. He had so many shops and so forth. Allah make easy for all of you and your mummy as well. The best thing you can do is for your late father, read Surah 14, verse 41. رَبَّنَا فِلِّي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْ مُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. And every day read Quran Sharif, Surah Yasin, other parts of the Quran Sharif for him. Every day that you read 2 rakat, Nafil Salat, Ishraq time, after Maghrib, after Isha, whenever it's convenient. So in that way, Almighty Allah will forgive him. Allah will elevate his rank and status. Allah will give you sabr. And you must try and expedite. You must remember the estate as well. First, the burial, funeral expenses, make sure all that is paid. Second one, the debts of the deceased. Now, yeah, you must tell your mummy that she will have to get somebody from her family now that to come and solve all these things out. And, you know, the shops and all that, who will manage it and what have you, or sell it. Allah alone knows what you're going to do. But all that needs to be settled immediately and as soon as possible. Third one, wasiya for non-heirs. So that also must be implemented. Whether he said you must give this person, that person, maximum 1/3 of the net estate, and that's for non-heirs, people, organization. And fourth one is the shares of the heirs. So the wife will receive 12.5%. The 4 daughters will get 2/3. And then his mother passed away. I know his father also, I think, passed away. So remember, it seems there's no parents, so it will be his siblings. So I don't know if he has other brothers. I only knew Bashir and Imran. So rahimahullah, Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. If there are other brothers, then they will inherit. If there are sisters, then they will inherit. If there's brothers and sisters, then ratio 2 to 1. So that is how the estate will be winded up and so forth. So obviously that we have to try and remain strong, although though it's difficult, and remember that you have to make dua for the deceased, and Allah Jalla Wala give all of you sabre jameel. Always remember Allah Jalla Wala placed us here on this earth. There are trials and challenges always. So inshallah, you console your mother and make khidmat of her. Al jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat, al jannatu inda rijliha. So each one of your daughters, make sure that you are serving and making khidmat and serving your mother very, very well, so that you take her du'as for her. Now she is a widow also, and she's got four daughters, young daughters also. So remember, she knows the difficulty she'll go through, but Allah will make it easy. Ameen, always ameen. Go and turn to Almighty Allah. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best one to take care of our matters and affairs. Fani'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Allah is the best protector. Allah is the best helper. Allah make easy. We're making dua for your father and your uncle Bashir and ma as well, that your dadima. So Allah Jalla Wala grant all of them Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. I see there's a sister here from Azadwal Ustad. She is a madrasa teacher, and she says she's got a question regarding Taliban. She is following the story of Taliban, but her students pose a question asking her that why there is a clip where all of them are falling off from the aeroplane, Ustad, from Kabul. Could Ustad please explain? I mean, Taliban, Ustad.
So you must remember, the American media are masters in lying and making propaganda and so forth. So yesterday, day for yesterday, the whole thing came. You must remember that that did not happen in Kabul airport, where they were rushing and so forth and so on to the planes. But that happened, there were some cowboys and some match day in America, and ABC network in America carried it and just put the Taliban. So this is what they try and do. When they were caught out that this didn't happen in Kabul, in Afghanistan, it happened in America. So then they apologized after they were caught out and so forth and so on. So the propaganda will continue. You must remember that is the job of the kuffar, the non-Muslims. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They want to extinguish the effulgence and the radiance of Almighty Allah. Their hatred is not for Taliban only. Their hatred is for Islam. Always remember that. The war on terror, which Bush announced, the war criminal. So what do you think? It was not war on terror. It meant war on Islam. And today he, his party, American politicians, president, are the laughing stock of this world. I was just reading now, 20 billion plus, listen carefully, not million, 20 billion plus planes, helicopters, rifles, guns, ammunition have come in the possession of Taliban. So they have one of the strong armies now in the world. And inshallah, with the help of Pakistan, with the help of China and others, they will learn how to use it properly. And when the enemies come, so whether it is India, whether it's Israel, whoever, or America, if they want another round and another threshing, so inshallah they must come. This is Allah Jalla Wala system. So sister, you must not worry about these clips, and there's a lot of fake news going on. You must go to Quran Sharif, Surah 61 and verse number 8. That the non-Muslims, their agenda and their aim objective is to extinguish the nur of Allah, the radiance of Allah, Islam, with their mouths, with their TV, with their media, mega media, and wallahu mutimmu nurihi. Allah will let the nur spread throughout the world. Walau karihal kafirun, although the non-Muslims hate it, today they speak of human rights. I'm asking them, where are they? Where were they, even now, regarding the Palestinians' rights? They crying crocodile tears for the Afghan women, for the Afghan children. But you are the ones who are supplying the rogue apartheid state. I must tell you what happened this morning also. So you must remember, they didn't worry. They can murder, kill the women, children, men in Palestine. So all that turn a blind eye. They can kill and murder whoever they want to. You must remember, in Syria, they turn a blind eye. What happened happens to the Uyghur Muslims turn a blind eye. But suddenly Afghanistan, with the crocodile tears, they worried about the Muslim women and Muslim children. All of them hypocrites, double standards. This morning I was busy with my work, my phone rang. And I said, my habit is, I said, Assalamu alaikum. It was a lady speaking, and she said she's speaking from the Democratic Alliance and want to speak to Mr. Hussein. So before she could speak, I said, I got questions for you. You want to come tell me about Democratic Alliance here in South Africa? Please answer the following question. When is the DA going to make an announcement against the apartheid, the rogue terrorist regime of Israel? Don't you have any shame? You align yourself with Israel, who is oppressing the Palestinians, who's stealing the land of the Palestinians. It's a rogue regime. So, and then I put the phone down. She got the shock of her life, you must remember. Therefore, me, I'm on record, and I don't feel shy to say these things. I never ever voted for ANC. I never ever voted for DA. I never ever voted for EFF. So always, I don't vote in the past 2-3 elections, but when I used to vote, I always used to vote for the smaller parties and so forth. Because if you understand politics, only fools, you must remember, will think that you can vote. You must remember for a party that you know their history is full of corruption and so forth and crime and all that. So why must you vote for them? I can't understand this type of things here. So remember, so I made it very clear from day one, from 94, we don't vote, and I'm clear on this issue, and I don't regret, you must remember, that I voted for other parties, small parties, and I feel happy. So I must remember, give them our vote. So why give these people this kind of votes here? To me, it don't make any sense. That is my analysis of the situation.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So if a woman learns about her husband's death, Ustad, and a few days after he dies, does she still have to sit for the full 130 days of Iddah to start?
Once the husband passes away, then you must remember, in a case like that, that we will say from the time of death, the Iddah is 130 days, 130 days, and she must sit in the house. She can't be roaming around here, gallivanting here and there, going shopping and going visiting and all that, all haram that is. She can't be wearing new clothes and so forth, she must wear her old clothes. It's time for mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And third one, you must remember, it is the time when she can't apply any beautification, meaning henna, mehndi, all that, not permissible, all that. So no jewelry, no henna, no new clothes, all that not permissible while she is in iddah. When the iddah finishes, then she wears the jewelry, she apply mehndi, henna, all that is permissible. But that 130 days, that is the iddah period, which is compulsory, enshrined in the noble Quran. So therefore, some ladies take all this very, very light, and they're roaming around here and there. They are guilty of a major, major crime and a major sin. Allah protect us all.
Can a stepbrother inherit with us from a sibling estate?
Remember, stepbrother, stepsister, foster brother, foster sister, adopted brother, adopted sister, nobody inherits. For inheritance, there are several. There are two reasons. One is blood relationship. So blood relationship means I am the son, I am the daughter, I am the brother, I am the sister. So all these type of things. Or the parents and so forth. The second reason for inheritance will be nikah and ziwaj. Husband passes away, wife or wives will inherit. Wife passes away, husband inherit. All this now, I married a lady and she came with her children from the previous marriage, her husband passed away. So those children got nothing to do with me. I don't have to support them, nothing in Islam. If I support them, I'm just doing a favor, but it can never be compulsory upon me, even if they're 1 year old or 5 years old or 10 years old. So stepchildren will never, in normal cases, inherit and so forth. So remember these type of things here. Same thing with adopted children and so forth. Therefore, your stepchildren, adopted children, they can't even even use your name or your surname. It's totally haram, these things here. Today, people, you must remember, they adopt the baby and then they register on their name. Absolutely haram that is. Surah 33, verse 5. Ud'uhum li'aba'ihim wa aqsatu indallah. They call them by their biological father's name. That is justice by Allah. Fa'illam ta'alamu aba'ahum. When you don't know who the father is, the biological father, then for ikhwanukum fiddin, they are your brothers in religions, called Yusuf Islam or Zainab Islam, in words like that. But you can't register on your name. Then another musibat we find, and you know, another disaster in our society, community. When a talaq takes place, then the lady, because she's bitter now with her husband and so forth, then she goes and registers her children, removes the surname of the father and registers on her maiden name. Absolutely haram. Are you knowing what you're doing? So you are telling the world your children are haramis. You're telling the world your children are bees, are illegitimate. In Islam, you register on the mother's name when the children are illegitimate. So understand, just because of being, you know, frustrated or bitter with the ex-husband, you go do a foolish thing like this. So how can that be justified? Then a third scenario you will find, I know all cases of letters, what examples I'm giving. So therefore I mention it. Some people, you must remember, the mother come from a famous family and the father is like a, we're not famous, non-entity like. So this son, this daughter, because they like name and fame, so they go and register on the mother's name. So they're absolutely haram. You also doing, you're trying to say you're a harami. So you must remember that you're illegitimate child. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man intasaba ila ghayri abi." When you make your nasab and lineage not to your father, but to somebody else, so whether it's your mother or whoever, so remember, for or your adopted father, adopted mother, for alayhi la'anatullah wal malaika wal nasi ajma'in. So remember, in those cases there, Allah's curse comes upon that person, the angels curse that person, the people curse that person. He's a mal'oon person, cursed person till the day of Qiyamah. So imagine, Islam came lisiyanatil ansab. Islam came to protect and preserve the lineage and not to corrupt the lineage. So what people are doing, Muslims I'm talking about, not non-Muslims, you know, you must remember, they're not bound by these laws. Muslims are bound by these laws. So remember, for the Muslim, I know all these examples I'm giving, that they do this type of things, totally haram it is, and they are cursed also.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, before we go for an ad break, this question especially for our beloved presenter, Haji Yusuf Ali, who's feeling very, very sad of losing his father. He's asking, is the deceased aware of when the family goes to the qabr and when Isail Sawab is sent, Ustaz?
Remember that every person, when his or her father passes away, mother passes away, is something natural. You must be sad. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set the precedent for humanity and posterity when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved son Ibrahim passed away in Medina Munawwara. He was 18 months old, 1.5 year old. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was crying. So Sahaba said, "Wa anta ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," you also crying. Nabi alayhi salam said that these tears are rahmah and mercy, remember. So we must not cry. Spaza crying, Kali Kali crying. People are laughing and joking. Suddenly when visitors come, then they start crying. If you go to Pakistan, you go to Egypt, you go to Muslim countries, they have Jama'atul Baqiyat. They have the women's group. The women's group, the ladder, crying party. You see? They pay them and when visitors come, they make everybody cry. When visitors go away, they're all laughing, joking, everything. It's all haram, this type of things. Yeah. So remember, there's another money-making gimmick. So if the tears came and it is inadvertently, unintentionally, then it's rahmah. But deliberately, intentionally, just to put up a show, so that definitely is not permissible. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and said, "Wa inna bi firaqika la mahzunun," that, "Oh my beloved son Ibrahim, with your separation, that we are very, very sad." So now a person must be sad. Why? It's your father, it's your mother, so now you can't meet them, you can't speak to them, you can't greet them. So it's good if you go to the graveyard once a week, especially on a Friday. Man zara qabra abawayhi, or for the men, this is not for the woman. For women to go graveyard is haram. So man zara qabra abawayhi aw ahadihima yawm al-jumu'ah, who visits the graveyard, the cemetery on a Friday, so remember that for his parents, both of them or one of them, ghufira lahu, he'll be forgiven. Wa kutiba baba, and considered a pious son of his parents, the hadith in Bayaki and Mishkat. The second question, do they come to know? No, not always. Sometimes they come to know, but not always. So you must remember, but we must carry on. And when we enter, we say, assalamu alaikum ya ahl al-kubur, yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum, antum salafuna wa nahnu bil-athar. You don't know all these dua, just say assalamu alaikum. Read Surah Yasin, read Quran Sharif, make dua. The best dua to make when you lost your parents is, I explained to Yusuf Ali also this morning, so Allah make easy for him, for his mother, for his brother, all of them, and you read Surah 14, verse 41, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents, and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. So that is what we should do, because parents, Allah gave us one set, they're always special. Brother, we can still get another brother, maybe sister, you know, all that, their wife, husband, so you remarry and so forth. It can happen. But parents, you can't say, how's your brothers, how your sisters, how your fathers? You have one father. You can't say, how's your mothers? You, it's one mother you have. So therefore, they hold such a special place in Islam. Your father is alive, you look at him one time with love, subhanallah, one hajj sawab. Every day you can make 10, 20, 50 hajj, imagine. So that is what Islam is teaching. Mother, under her feet lies paradise in Jannah. Al-Jannatu tahta qadamil ummahat, al-Jannatu inda rijliha. You will find these hadiths in Mishkat Sharif. So the point I'm making is that we must always do something that will help them and help us, inshallah.
Well, it's 22 minutes to 12. You are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. A listener says, Ya Ustaz, that one person wants to get married to a pious Muslim girl, and the other person wants to get married to a pious Muslim boy. Ustad, what's the way forward?
The way forward is you must make dua. So that's the way forward. So all parties who are not married, you're 18, 20, 25, 30 years old, you're waiting now, somebody must come. So never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Read Surah 25, Surah Furqan, verse 74. And that is in the beginning of the 19th juz, the 19th subara, right where the first quarter ends. Come, let's read together. I read till now every day, alhamdulillah, and you should be reading also. Whether you're married, not married, you're old timer, so still you must read. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us spouses, grant us children that are the coolness of the eyes. So it means that Allah must keep the marriage full with mahabba and love and mawadda and compassion and so forth. Marriage can be a bed of roses, or that is Jannat on this earth, alhamdulillah, a small sample example of Jannat. And it can be a bed of thorns, a sample of Jahannam and hellfire, Allah forbid. So I got three announcements. You must remember, we're not running a marriage agency here or nothing, but people now just tell us. So there is one Maimon guy, he's 35 years old, he's a sharpshooter, he's taller than me. So when I was now in Durban, he came to meet me. So I looked at him, I said, hey, you're taller than me, brother. So now he's 6 feet 4 years, 6 feet 4 inches or so. So I said, very few people have to look up to, you know, that I'm 6 feet myself. So he is a Maimon guy, he's 35 years old and he's very tall. So mashallah, any one of you, he wants Maimon girl. So you want to get married to him, you got now about him, he's 35 years old, he's in Durban and he's very tall. And he seems to be okay, well, quite wealthy and what have you. So if you're interested, then you put your name to me and then I'll just send it to him, and then you all can make, let the parents speak or whatever. That's one. Then there's an African sister, mashallah, she became an apa, and she from Malawi originally, and mashallah, there's very good akhlaq and character according to her teachers. So she is also looking to settle down. I think she has a child also, so maybe from a previous husband who died and passed away or divorced. So this is a mashallah good lady according to her teachers and so forth in the madrasa, and she's 21, 22 years old, but now she's in South Africa for many, many years. She studied and all that. She's a muallima and teacher. So preferably any African brother, good Muslim and so forth, who's not married and you are committed to the deen and so forth. So mashallah, you can contact us, and then inshallah, you will give you that numbers, and then you can speak to her. Not you, the boy and girl, the parents or the teachers. So that's the second one. And third one, mashallah, we got a Gujarati boy, and he, I know him, he's excellent boy, and his hafiz also is 22 years old. He's becoming an engineer also, but he wants girl proper, you know, according to majlis. They must practice like one majlis say, not what you want to do and this and that. So no TV, no cell phone, no all these things here and all that, and no running around to the cinemas and restaurants and all that. So mashallah, he's a hafiz, very good boy. So if anybody, you got a good daughter, full hijab, very good aqidah, ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah, and you follow the majlis properly, majlis meaning a newspaper, so all that, then mashallah, we can make some business grow there, inshallah. But we're not running a marriage agency. Let me make that very clear. It's just that I feel sorry every time these people contact me. So I gave you one Mehman contact, one Gujarati contact, one African contact. So you make up your mind and your choice. You see, when these youngsters, they come to me, they say, please, man, make dua. I want to get married. I'm 20, 22. So I say, I can make quick arrangement. What you want? Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Ambali. Four wives you allowed. So you tell me which one you want. So you see, so quick we can make. But I'm not running all this. I don't like these things, but I feel sorry, you know, people. Allah. So if you can help somebody, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, and remember, you must never get married to Qadianis and Shias and all those Aga Khan. They're all kuffar. They're not Muslim. So you must be very, very clear on all. See, I show you one point. Just one point. Taliban gave such a thrashing, such a whooping to the Americans and NATO and all of them, 48 countries together and all. What they said? Your mask, go to hell. Your social distancing, go fly a kite. You understood? And this vaccine, go fly a kite also. We're not interested in vaccine. We're not interested in mask. We're not interested in social distancing. We practice deen as came from Allah Jalla Wala, as came from Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as came from Sahaba Radiallahu An, and the four schools. That is our deen. Not who must come and tell us, and this politician must come and tell us. You see, Israel, the rogue apartheid regime, they gave their population two jabs, and now they're one of the most sick people in the world. So now give booster. So I told you, Quran says Allah is going to punish them. Whether Hitler comes, whether Mr. Vaccine comes, or Mrs. Vaccine comes, or whether Hamas comes, or Taliban comes, Allah will always punish them. Because they cursed by Almighty Allah. We speak of majority of them. Go read the Haaretz newspaper and see. It's not my news, it's their news. So Surah 7 verse 167. So therefore we reject all this. Be very clear on this. Any trustee, any Molvi, scholars for dollars, they promote vaccines, they promote masks, they promote social distancing in the masjid, stand one right wing, one left wing. You must expose this people. As far as Islam goes, they're big shaitans. You must remember that. It's all a money-making game, this. You must remember that. They love money more than honey and more than Islam also. Sell out some they are. You must remember. We must be clear on all these issues.
Haq, Ustad. Haq. What about our beloved brother, Ustad, our receptionist, Haji Suleiman? Yes,
well, Haji Suleiman, I forgot about him. So Haji Suleiman, mashallah, he's what, 25 years old?
Gee, I think 31, Ustad.
Oh, 31. Yeah, so he's already already gone into his 30s now. So, mashallah, he also wants to settle down. He's a good guy, mashallah. So, his father passed away also. Allah grant him also Jannatul Firdaus. But now his history is that were geography involved there also. So, the history and geography is he was married before. He's got two sons, 9, 10 years old, or around that age plus minus. And now he's looking for a nice, homely type wife, whether he's Mehman, whether he's Surti, whether he's Urdu, Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Ambali. For him, kullu halal. There's no problem for him. Mustn't be Shia and Qadiani. They're kuffar. You must remember that. So that we can promote our brother Suleiman also. Anybody else on the list? Mohan Arafat, no?
No, no, no. Ustad, there's a brother from Boxburg. He says that, dear Mufti Saab, if I tell you that we are total against Taliban, what do you have to say about it? Because there is hidden agendas on that. Anonymous brother from Boxburg, Ustad, you know exactly what I'm talking.
I know exactly what you're talking. You favoring the Shia. Shias are pakka kafirs. If you agree with the belief of the Shia, then you kafir also and murtad also. So that answers the question already.
Somebody says here, dear Mufti Saab and Mufti's family, may Allah Ta'ala save y'all. Wat gaan ons sonder Mufti doen? That's what it says here, I think, from Cape Town.
MashaAllah, there's baie ander Muftis, daar in die Kaapstad. There's Muftis and there's Mufatias also. So you must remember, je ken nie Urdu nie. So Iqbal het so gesê. Ken nie for Iqbal? Iqbal's the naam, Shair and Mashriq, the poet and philosopher of the East. So he said in Urdu, he was a master of Urdu and Persian and so forth. Pelle te Mufti masail ke batane wale, ab bhi hai Mufti mufke khane wale. So mashallah, in Cape Town you got some great ulama, but ma'al asafi shadid, but we have to speak the truth, whether it's Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town. So remember that you got a lot of mufatias also, mufatias who will make halal, you know, put halal stamp. So you must remember, this halal, this halal, this halal, so net health the mark. So you must remember that. So all these halal stamp, whether it's MJC, whether it's Sana'a, whether it's this, whether it's that, so we totally have no confidence in them, and they know very well. We told them many a time. To us, you must remember that this is a money-making gimmick, you must remember. We have no confidence in UKSA, we have no confidence in JUSA, we have no confidence in MJC, we have no confidence in Darul Ihsan. All these years, they are sellouts, they went to court, to, you must remember, close the masjid. What else is left? Then instead of apologizing, making Toba, second round, they go again to court. So you must remember, friends of the court. So they became friends of the court and the enemies of Allah, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the enemies of Islam. Everybody saw that. So when we told you this so many years ago, so I told you, Taliban, you will see what will happen. Now all these Americans, they don't know what to do, you see. So I told you, Shias are the enemies of Islam, the kuffar. Today everything is coming out. So what we're telling you is not that we don't make mistakes. We also make mistakes. We also commit sins. But show what you are speaking is from Quran, is from Sunnah, is from Sahaba, from Ahlul Bayt, from the Awliyaullah, and from four schools. Not fairy tales you are bootlicking the politicians and governments and so forth. So look at the Arab regimes. So you must remember that you can't find anyone, you must remember, who's close to government in the Arab countries, Muslim countries, who's not selling the deen. They're selling the deen openly. So because the perks are too much, they must remember the name and fame will be there. But end of the day, they destroyed the whole akhirat and hereafter. Allah protect us.
We go to Palm Ridge. A brother says, ask Mufti Saab to make dua. I get married. My mom is now old and only lady here. Alhamdulillah, Allah says to all of us, make dua, Ustad, from Palm Ridge.
MashaAllah, you want to get married, my brother? So Maulana comes there from Palm Ridge. So any lady interested in getting married, you contact Maulana. Maulana maybe know the brother there in Palm Ridge. Maybe I must think of having one program with Maulana Arafat.
Inshallah,
that,
why not?
So I see Maulana, inshallah, came out quickly. So let's get the marriages going, you see. So, but it's very dangerous. Therefore, even at CII, when I was there, they suggested it. I said, you all want to do it, you all do. Me, I'm not involved. Because if the marriage work out, then they will say, very good. But once this divorce, talak,
what? They will drag us in and all that. So therefore, I don't want to do these things here. But sometimes, you know, we know some people. So we just announce it few times and so forth. And then inshallah, in your takdir, main thing, you must turn to Almighty Allah. And Allah will give you a good spouse, Ameen, and a good wife, good husband and so forth. So you must turn every day to Allah, cry, and never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah.
I see Brother Abdullah Ustad from Soweto. He says, Mufti Sab, I like you, your program. I want to ask you, is it allowed to use medicine? I want to make my marriage high. Maybe saying you want to put a spark in his marriage, Ustad. Brother Abdullah.
So remember, my brother, you leave all the medicine. The medicine, it got a lot of after effect. So you must take a lot of dates. You know, dates, kajur, tamar. So eat a lot of dates and all that, then you'll remain high all the time, inshallah. So iftar time also you'll be alright, and sehri time also you'll be alright, inshallah. So every month go buy, every week go buy dates, okay? So then you'll be alright. But not for haram purpose, must be for halal purpose. Then you go to your wife, inshallah.
Ustad, Len's question says, is nikah still valid if one's husband does not have intercourse with the wife for more than a year, Ustad?
So all those old bajis and all of them who are 70, 80, 90 years old, they all half past six and so forth, what, everybody's nikah will be broken there. So how can that ever happen? Mm-hmm. So you must remember, Islam is a religion for all times, all places, all circumstances. So what the husband is doing, he's 20 years old, 30, 40, 35, 40, and he's not fulfilling the conjugal relationship of his wife, that's haram, but the nikah is still valid, and now you're 80, 90 years old, so there's no question there of intercourse and about conjugal relationship. So you can't say marriage is broken, the marriage is valid. So sometimes the old bajis also, they active, mashallah, halas oat, but nikotni. So yeah, they old but not gold. So remember, in a case like that, where that person is 20, 30, 35, 40, and so forth, and is not fulfilling the, so we must ask, what is the problem? Is he impotent or some sugar, diabetes, whatever the problem? So you must go for ilaj, brother. You must go for treatment. You can't keep your wife just like that. So in a case like that, the wife can then raise many, many objections. So but the marriage, the nikah will still be valid. Let me tell you so much also, that let's say that couple, they're sleeping in separate rooms or separate towns, separate countries, separate continents, and 5-10 years there was no contact. A husband never issued talaq. The day the husband dies, that wife still has to sit in iddat. That wife will still inherit also. So remember, the marriage will still remain valid and intact. So you should remember these type of issues.
I see Buta Imran Flores says, Mufti Sab as Andy Brand vandaag. Ustad, Buta Imran Flores.
On said, Baya snookies. Nee, nee snookies, nee. On said, Baya, you must have a heik geëerd daar in Durban, mashallah. Die heik van Durban is baie mooi. So our brother Imran Flores, mashallah, that he was with us in Hajj and so forth, and he met me there. He was crying also. So Allah Ta'ala keep the muhabbat. So he say, we firing on all cylinders. So I told him, I ate lot of hik, you understand? So there in Durban, I like it because no thorns in it. So I'm not like fish so much because thorns, but if you come with fish properly made, you know how the Bengali brothers, the Bangladesh brothers, they're masters in making fish. So if you make it nicely, then we'll eat also very nicely also, inshallah.
Ameen. I see Hawik says, please come along with Mulana Arafat to start. When last went to Hawik, Hawik could start?
Yeah, I don't know, long time ago. So inshallah, now we're busy with the Rabiul Awwal program. So maybe I must see if we can squeeze in Hawik. I'll speak to Hafiz Wadi, our coordinator there, inshallah. And maybe we make a program for Hawik. I'll speak to him and let's see how things go, inshallah. He sent me a tentative program for Rabiul Awwal. It's not confirmed still. So maybe Hawik is there. Our brothers are there. I know them well, all the butcher brothers. So must remember. I tell you one thing, Maulana of Hawik, I don't know if you know. Our Mawlana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah, so he was the person who opened the masjid there, the first masjid, you must remember in Hawik. Yeah. So you must remember, that's another one of the virtues of Mawlana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen.
I see the brother says here, breaking news, dear Mufti Sahab. Remember this morning we posed a question that the trustees are only allowing those people to come to the masjid who have taken the vaccine. Today, few Muslims went to the house, they wanted to hit them. So two trustees have resign. Allahu Akbar Takbir. This is the brother. Now the trustee says, I want to see who's going to run the masjid. Ustad, the breaking news, the brother is saying.
So you must remember, it's good you went there, but you mustn't hit them. You can tell them you better resign because you're not fit to be a trustee. And for the trustee to make that statement, we want to see who's going to run the masjid. That's a sign of arrogance and pride. You die tomorrow, what you think, the masjid will close? So you must remember, you don't run the masjid, my brother. And if that is your mentality, that only people with vaccine can come into the masjid, then I told you this morning, you're not fit to be a trustee this morning or last night, whenever it was. So you're not fit to be a trustee, and it's compulsory upon you to resign. So you, the brothers, we don't know where you are, which masjid it is, who the trustees are. I told you, you must put a lot of pressure on them. They must resign. But we never advocate violence. Not you go there with an AK-47 and say, except your twat skit and all that. So you better resign. So we don't want all this type of things. We don't advocate violence. Yes, you can put pressure on them and tell them they must resign and so forth. And no trustee must think that he is running the masjid. Allah's masjid, Allah will let it run. You must remember these type of things. The day we start feeling that I'm running it and I'm doing it, remember that day Allah will snatch it away from you, because that smacks of arrogance and pride. Remember the last question.
Ustad, I've got two more questions. Okay, one, he says, I also got a 22-year-old girl, Alima, in full hijab and niqab, ready for marriage. Urdu speaking, simple life.
Okay, mashallah. So Urdu speaking, we will see now. We need one Urdu boy there. Inshallah, people like to get, you know, married in their own garment. So all these things here. So anybody, you got there, 22-year-old girl, mashallah, she wants to settle down and she studied and so forth. One correction there, don't say Alima, Alima. Just say, I finished the Taliba course. You must say Taliba, then things will go wrong. Sometime when this woman, they say Alima, Alima, then they grow a lot of horns, you understand? So then a lot of trouble comes in.
So final question for today, it says, my husband is physically abusive, Mufti Saab. He hits me, kicks me, punches me. Now he wants to take a second wife. Is it permissible for such a person to even remarry, Ustad?
Remember, before we answer that question about the second wife, I don't know you, I don't know your husband. Maybe he's a Maulana, maybe he's a businessman, maybe what he is, because today you get different types of people. You must go straight to the police and lay a charge of assault, and you must put down, on this day he did this, on this day he did this, on that day he did this, a throng to. They must put him straight into the jail, and then they can box him properly there and give him some penal beating courses. How can you go hit your wife like that? What, she's a punching bag? You went there to propose to her, you got children from her, and you used the youth, and now you got the audacity to hit her and spit on her and do I don't know what and what and so forth, and now you want to say that you're taking a second wife and so forth. You can't do justice to one wife. How are you going to do justice with the second wife, brother? Quran Kareem states, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. So my advice, leave all the ulama, leave me, leave every all the maulanas and every jamiats and all. We can't do anything. We all can just give advice, advisory capacity. We can't give, you understand, tanfiz. We can't implement and execute any punishment. Go straight to the police and lay charges of multiple assault and so forth and so on, and give them all the story, and inshallah they need to lock him up. Then he will come right, inshallah. Then he'll come straight like a miswak, you know, like a stick, inshallah. So that is my real advice to you, inshallah. Okay, let me just run the programs. We're starting a new series today. He's also my student, Zahir Mahmood from UK. They call him Sheikh Zahir Mahmood now. So Maulana Zahir Mahmood, he will start with the series of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu today. So every day this time here, the series will run of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. Very, very interesting. Thereafter, 1 o'clock Adhan and the Surah Ka, verses 16 and 17, 130 to 2 from the archive, Surah Yunus, verses 11 to 13, 2 to 3 Madrasa on air with Mawaz Zahid Khan, 3 to 3.30 the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3.30 to 4 the Shahadat of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, the martyrdom, that is Maulana Tanwirul Haq Tanwi, he is the illustrious son of Hazrat Maulana Ihtisham ul Haq Tanwi, 4 to 4.30 how to say sorry agree and apologize by Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera of UK. 4:35 to 5 o'clock, Jannah calls. That is by Maulana Suleiman Qattani. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of today's tafsir. 7:30 to 8 will be, inshallah, Mo Yunus Patel's advices. 8 to 10, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan. So that's the program from now till 10 tonight, inshallah. And then Maulana Ridwan Qaji. So 10 to 11. So make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And 4 to 6, a safina to Ilal Jannah tomorrow morning. We leave you in love in this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday afternoon. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Independent, independent and true to you. This is Marcus Sahaba News.